There are a lot of folks who like to beat up on the church. Some of them are within the church, and some of them are without the church. And some of them like to blame the church for a whole lot of stuff. So I want to walk back to history again, just for a moment. What has the church done historically, like on the planet? In addition to those two mandates of ministry of reconciliation and equipping the saints, what has the church done? Remember this, God said to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were to be a blessing to the entire world and a light to the nations. And the Apostle Paul says that we, the church, and more specifically the Gentile believers, are like wild olive branches grafted into the tree being Israel, right? So we are part of that story. And so by that, the Israel's mandate to be light to the nations has fallen to the church as well. And all of the following have been established or seen great advancement because of the church. The arts have seen great advancement under the church's patronage. Healthcare, especially hospitals. Who started the first hospitals? It was the church. Mental health, especially, until the people of the church came along, those with mental disorders were treated like animals until the church came along. Women's rights, workers' rights, guilds, and unions. In this period of history, down here, where Wesley was stepping up, that's where workers finally got some rights and some traction. We've been hot and cold on science. I mean, sometimes we've done great things in advancing science, and other times we've, you know, burned people at the stake for what they believe. But we've gone hot and cold on science, but great scientific advances have been made by the church, okay? Government was corralled and directed by the church, usually for the good. What other areas can you think of that perhaps the folks have forgotten that the church had a hand in making it happen?
I think about Sunday school was originally started for children who worked in the factories in England and who didn't get to go to school,
right,
because they were sent to the factories to work. So Sunday school was started to teach those children how to read and write and do math, along with a little bit of Jesus.
Right.
But Sunday school wasn't originally as we know it now. It was for children who were sent to work who didn't have that privilege of going to school. So that,
right,
was a huge thing that the church did.
Mm-hmm. What else? Other ideas? Education was on my list, but I don't think I read it. Okay, so those things, be as they may.
Well, social welfare systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking care of the poor because what Jesus said to, right? Yeah. Church has also had some dark days too, okay? We got to be honest about that, okay? There was an unhealthy union of missionary endeavors and colonialism, which was not always bad, all right? But there was some downside to that. We've had inquisitions and witch hunts and crusades and any number of power grabs and appropriation of properties and abuses and sexual predation carried out by her leaders. And that's not just here. It's here. All the way across. Okay? So we've had some dark days too. But because we're friends, or we will be soon someday, I want to say these things, and I want you to hear my heart when I say them. Okay? I submit that no one has ever been hurt by the church, because the church is the body of Christ. And could Jesus hurt anyone? other than possibly the money changers at the temple, but that's a different story. They had it coming. People have been hurt, terribly hurt, some even killed by individuals or groups within the church who were not behaving in a way that was consistent with the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Will you let me say that? Further, people may have expectations or demands that are not consistent with the body of Christ, holy, or are not consistent with the culture or resources of a local body. 10 minutes? Okay, thank you. So listen to me say that again. People may have expectations that are not consistent with the body of Christ, or they may have expectations that are not consistent with the culture or the resources of a local body. And then they claim that the church has hurt them because their demands or expectations were not met. Terry referenced a little bit of this on Sunday. People demanding that they become full-fledged members while they're not living like, and then they say, the church has hurt me because they didn't let me in. No. Your feelings might be hurt, but there's stuff going on here that you need to understand. There's authorities here that you need to submit to. There is reconciliation that you may be resisting. So we didn't hurt you just because we didn't let you in the club. It's not a club. Ooh. We didn't hurt you just because we didn't. All right? Will you let me say that? I said it whether you let me or not. So we worship. We celebrate by worship. And we gather and expect God's presence as we recognize who God is. And this looks different everywhere. Because we get to be contextualized and we get to be culturalized. We celebrate this in the Lord's Supper. All of these have different conversations and different understanding of the Lord's Supper. We could get into that, but that's a whole nother class. But the Lord's Supper, taking of communion, the Eucharist, is a mystery. And regardless of how we think we understand it, churches, the body of Christ, celebrates universally in that, whether you go to a church that does it once a year or a church that does it every day of the week. Okay? We also celebrate in baptism, and we do this because Jesus said to, just like we do communion, because Jesus said to. And all these people have written dozens of books, thousands of books on what baptism means, and what it is a mystery. And whether, regardless of what view you buy into, it's still a mystery. And baptism is something that Jesus said. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And we identify with Christ's death and resurrection and our birth into new life. And it's a proclamation of our faith and a ritual entrance into the body and the community of Christ. And like I said, there was a time in medieval Europe where you could not find a single person who had not gone through that. So it's a beautiful thing, right? So we've been talking about the church. Let's talk about us really quickly in the next 3 minutes. Back here to division. I forgot to add this in. The opposite of unity is pride, right? It's when these people become proud of what they're doing, right? You don't have to split a church to be proud of what you're doing, okay? Our job as believers is to promote unity within the body. Our job as believers is to share Jesus, the Great Commission, Romans chapter 1. Our role as believers, as members of the church, is to worship. All through the scripture, it talks about people that believe as worshipers. And then the last thing is to love. Just Just love, because Jesus did, right? And Terry talked about that a lot on Sunday too, right? All of this is really just about loving people like Jesus did. Participating in the memory of, or in the message of reconciliation and equipping the saints. And so, that's all I got. Questions, comments, points of rebuttal? Bill.
Where does the Jewish faith fall under the kingdom? Or the Church of the Mormons? Are they part of God's
kingdom? Well, let's do one at a time, all right? The kingdom is bigger than the church. And the church is because the Jews rejected Jesus. I mean, if they hadn't done that, we wouldn't have the church, right? They rejected and they killed Jesus, right? But I also know that in Revelation, it talks a whole lot more about the redemption of Israel than it does the church. I mean, it does talk about the church as well. So, Israel is God's business, and I'm putting it out here in the kingdom. Okay?
So they can get to the kingdom.
God's business.
Well, here's what I would have to say about that. In Romans, Paul talks about all Israel when he's saved.
Right.
And that doesn't mean everybody that's Jewish is going to be saved, but it means that there's a believing remnant within Judaism, but that the church becomes part of all Israel. Because really the story of Scripture is a story about Israel, and Gentiles have been invited into that story.
Paul also identifies the true Jews as those whose hearts are circumcised.
Right.
So that it's no longer that physical sign of covenant that God created with Abraham and his descendants. Right. There are ethnic Jews who remain a part of it. But yeah, the greater church is now identified with Israel as God's family.
Bill, you also asked about the Mormon church.
Well, Mormon or a Hindu. Say a Hindu.
Well,
Hindu get to the kingdom?
I believe that Jesus died for Hindus.
Okay.
I believe that Jesus is the gate and the narrow way that Terry talked about on Sunday. I don't see a thing in the Hindu faith that brings somebody to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe that God has his eye on Hindu people.
He created them.
Right? Is there a way? Yes, through Jesus. Now, if a person rejects Christ and chooses other ways, then I think the scripture is pretty clear on this. But I also know that God loves those people, and you know, so the basic part of your question is, what if a person dies never hearing of Jesus, right?
Right. But there are people.
And there are people.
I'm glad we don't have to decide that.
Here's my well-educated chicken answer. It's up to God.
It's up to God.
It is up to God.
He created them. He wouldn't create them.
Right.
Right.
I am relieved that God gets to answer for that and not me. And that answer does not satisfy everyone, Bill. But that's as good as you're gonna get from me. Right? What else?
So my mind keeps going back to that question Joel asked earlier about, could we call ourselves the Catholic Church of the Nazarene? I'm inclined to say no, we cannot. Because the Catholic Church, the way you explain what Catholic means, it refers to the Church Universal.
Right.
The Church of the Nazarene is a piece of the Church Universal. So my perspective, and maybe there's a question in here that you want to address, I don't know, but like...
Not so far.
Okay.
Keep going.
So my thought is, if we were to call ourselves the Catholic Church of the Nazarene, we would be saying that the entirety of Christianity is consumed within the Nazarene Church.
That's right.
Which is not where we want to be. That goes back to that statement of pride that you made earlier.
Right.
So, and in that, I mean, there's no judgment in there. means that the Roman Catholic Church is using that. That's for God to decide. But I don't think we can do that, because I think each individual denomination is a piece of the Catholic Church, which is why we cannot take that title out of ourselves. That's how I understand that.
That's a great thought. So no, Joel, we're not putting Catholic Church in there.
Fine.
All right. What else? Anything else?
I have a random question, and I've been thinking about it all day. Why do we not do actions?
That is a great random question. No reason other than it just has not been part of our practice as a tradition.
Okay, I was just wondering. Yep. I got asked like a bunch of times today where was my...
Where your ashes were? Yeah. Heard a story about that yesterday. Our district superintendent, Glenn Gardner, was on his way into a grocery store on a Ash Wednesday, and he saw a little old lady, and Glenn has a birthmark right here, and she looked up at him and saw his birthmark, and she said, "Oh, you've been to church," and he said, "No, I haven't. This is just a birthmark," and she was using a cane, and she whacked him with her cane and said, "Get to church."
Yeah.
He said, "Okay, I'm going." I love the church. I love our church because I think that all those things, ministry of reconciliation and the equipping of the saints, is happening here. Okay? Believe it. So, that's my parting shot. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the church, the big church, one that we can't get our head around. And I thank you for this church, the one that we can almost get our head around. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on the big church, and that your Holy Spirit would fall on this church, and that those things that we have talked about starting with a confession, about being set on fire, about being given a ministry of reconciliation, God, I pray that those things would be real here. Because of your love for us, because of our love for you, because of the empowerment of the Spirit. We ask these things in the name of our risen Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen.